Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Advisor. Please hit the like and subscribe button right now so we can provide you with more amazing content like we're about to provide you with right now. I have with me Jodi Pavlok. She has a series on our channel, and she is a newly published author, which is her biography. So she went from rock bottom, heartbreak to radiant resilience. She has lived and healed the story so many silently endure. So she had a life in the grip of narcissist abuse. And after years of clawing her way out from the emotional rubble of a covert narcissistic relationship, she turned her pain into purpose, which gives me friggin' chills. I just love that so much. Today, she's a passionate advocate, an educator, and a guide for anyone trapped in or recovering from the unseen scars of mental or emotional abuse. So, whether she's breaking down the traits of NPD, explaining the science of trauma bonds, or showing survivors how to rediscover empathy for themselves, her mission is clear: shine a bright light on narcissism. Start the hard conversations and walk beside you on the journey to true healing and self-reclamation. Just amazing. I love it so much. It's really nice to meet you, Jodi.
Yes, thank you. Nice to meet you as well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my God, you've been through a lot and you have the hero story. And how long ago was that you got out of that relationship?
Not to give away too much of the plot, but I technically left my ex twice, which is a big narcissistic injury, as they say, to their ego. It was only just, 13 months now. It's a little over a year. So it really wasn't that long. And I left him last June. And I was thinking about writing a book in like July. And then August, I was like, yep, I'm doing it. And I wrote it in a month, believe it or not. And then with all the editing and stuff, I promised myself it's going to be out before the holiday season, which I did. It was like out 2 weeks before Christmas. So I was proud of that. I stuck to my timeline and I did it.
I want to say I'm surprised with the 1 month, but like I've been reading and like listening to so many like inspirational stuff, and it says that women, when they leave a relationship, they become like superheroes, and the man is always a little left behind, but women just seem to be so resilient and strong.
Absolutely. And I think that's what part of it was. I mean, it was very therapeutic to write the book. It was healing, and I was going through all the motions. I mean, even though, like I said, technically this was the second time I left him, this was the final goodbye, no contact, that's it. It's just you really go through these roller coaster of emotions. And once I went to the portal and start writing the book, it just poured out of me. I mean, really, when I think about it now, it's kind of like a blank because there was so much that was going on in my mind, and obviously I lived it, but I just ba 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 ba. Every night I would go on chapter one, chapter two, and I'm like, okay, this happened, this happened. And with the book, honestly, I could have wrote so much more because there were so many highs and so many lows, but I didn't want the book to get redundant and boring. So I just stuck to the highest of highs and lowest of lows. And I just wanted, other women that are in these type of situations to resonate with it and be like, oh man, there's other people out there like that who are going through this too. And you don't want to be felt alone. And it's just supposed to show like other people go through this too. There is light at the end of the tunnel, but you first must go through the darkness to get to it. That's like a very key important part. And then even other people who are in healthy relationships, it's just a great read. It's like a Lifetime movie. That's what I tell everybody. I mean, that's my dream. I would love for it to be on there. I actually, if anybody ever goes on my website, jodilynpavlok.com, I actually filmed a 2-minute trailer to the book, like a little Lifetime movie. So it kind of gives you like a little excitement and a little taste of what the book's about. So I like to be different because that's who I am. I'm always happy, jolly Jody, but I always did modeling and acting on the side. And then when I decided to do the book, I said, you know what? I said, nobody really does a trailer to a book. I said, I'm going to do a trailer to the book. So I thought that was kind of cool. I filmed it in Jersey where I live. I got together a couple of my acting friends and it was a really fun experience. And I'm really, really into like precision with things. Like, I tried to pick the perfect song to go with it. When I do my Facebook post and TikTok and everything, I try to pick songs that resonate with, what the daily message is. And every day is something different. I'll speak about narcissism. I'll speak about abusive relationships, female empowerment. And it doesn't only just happen to females. It's, narcissism is predominantly 70% male. So it mostly happens to women, but there certainly are female narcissists out there too. So it's an epidemic that is happening. And when I left my covert, narc ex, I was hearing about that word and I was researching it before because I was, emotionally detaching from him slowly because I kind of knew, it wasn't going to end well what he was doing. And I just kept reading about it. And then especially on TikTok, if you put in narc talk, oh, forget it. There's hundreds of thousands of videos just of people who are going through it. The psychology behind it. I mean, everything. There's so much. I mean, I actually have a regular therapist. And then when I left him, I got a narcissistic abuse specialist therapist. That's always a tongue tire for me. So,
That is tough. Yeah.
yeah, it
Say
really
that
is.
three times fast.
Yeah, exactly. So, she helped divulge into the whole world. And then now with me trying to be an advocate, with not only pushing my book out and telling my story and helping people, I said, I want to dive even a little deeper. And I took an online course. It took me a little while. It was kind of rigorous, but I am now a certified narcissistic recovery abuse coach also. So I'm certified in it now. So not only did I live it, I am certified in it. So, that's something I'm proud of because, why not bring even more awareness to it? And a lot of the program was just the psychology behind it. And I understand it's a personality disorder. There's, a mental disorder along with it, but it's in a different realm because they absolutely know what they're doing when they do it, and they actually enjoy inflicting pain and harm on you, whether it's crying or physical abuse or mental torture, whatever their choice is that day. It's just not right, and nobody should have to live that kind of life. And what I went through, especially, I don't want anybody feeling even 10% of the pain I went through because it's just otherworldly, especially when you're like an empath with me and you're a people pleaser and you just want to see the best in people. When you are hurt like that to the core, oh, it changes you. I mean, I have to say, I've never been hurt like that before in my life. And I've done a lot of healing. I'm pretty much in my utmost healing era. Is there always room for more? Sure, of course. But, I think by helping people and getting my book out there, I think it even brings my healing even higher and my vibrational level higher too.
Absolutely. There's so much there. One of the things you said at the beginning of that, when you just spoke was, I put in my book the high highs and the low lows. And I think something that a lot of people don't realize is that falling in love and being in a relationship, high highs and low lows are not the norm. That's not a healthy relationship. So many people chase this high and the fantastic, like fantasy, like they show on TV, like it's supposed to be this sweep you off your feet and then these god awful times that bring you both together, then you have amazing sex and then your relationship is back and then that cycle continues. But really, a relationship should be kind of mundane and like you should have some really great times, like your love develops, but it's like the path is like even, it's not crazy up and down. And a lot of people are addicted to that up and down, and they think that's the norm.
Exactly. And that was like one big word I talked about a lot, in the book and podcast is like trauma bonding. Yes, you can be in love with the person you're with, but if you're trauma bonded on top of it, whew, oh boy, do you got a rough road very ahead of you. It is not easy. Let me tell you, I went through it because, again, you read about it, but when you're in it, you're reading it from an inside the relationship kind of mindset. That's the best way I could describe it. When you're out of it and then you're actually healing and then you're reading it, you're like, oh my God, like, wow, this was really bad. This was even worse than I thought it was. And with narcissists, they do those highs and lows and they know how to just, breadcrumb you, which is a big word too. And the typical love bombing for a narcissist would be like my ex-husband. The flowers, the let's go out to dinner every night. I love you too fast. Let's move too fast. Like, I think we were engaged in less than a year. And, I thought that was normal. And he was more of a classic narcissist. The only thing I will say about my ex-husband is he has a little bit of empathy. That makes him a little different from most narcissists. That I will give him, after everything we've been through. But my ex, the one that focused on the book, my ex-fiance, that's the one that was the icing on the cake. That was like, whoa, blow me away. Oh my God. I never saw it coming like this. I mean, I would have bet everything I had that we were going to work out because I worked that hard at it for it to work out. And in all honesty, it should have. If he would have just been normal, I guess if that's best to say. But, when you don't see faults in your own actions, it doesn't work. And yes, it takes two to tango. I'm not saying I'm perfect. There could have been some things I could have worked on too, but I wasn't lying, cheating, scheming, calling him horrific, disgusting names, putting him through psychological warfare. I didn't do any of that, but you don't realize when you're in it. And with him, with like the love bombing thing, which made him a little different because he's a covert narcissist. So they kind of, manipulate on a different level. I knew of him from years ago. I knew he wasn't one of these guys like, to buy flowers and to be extra romantic. He was kind of like rugged, goofball, like, and I knew back in the day he was a womanizer. Again, I didn't judge because he's 18 years older than me. He was picking up women when I was in diapers. What do I care? Let's be
Yeah.
honest. I don't care about somebody's past as long as you're a good person now and you treat that person with respect. I never judge. That's how I was raised. But again, I was led to be his personality and himself on false pretenses. So that was the problem. The foundation was all lies with cracks all over the place. And when I started talking to him and stuff, I had no intentions on dating. I was getting divorced from my ex-husband. Like I said in the book, I took a wrong turn with the school bus that day. It was like fate, I guess. We were meant to be for a certain amount of time, and I believe my purpose in life here is to write this book and help people. So, I don't question those kind of things, but in the book, I described how he kind of made me feel comfortable because I knew of him. So that was like one thing. So I think he could sense that because a lot of narcissists mirror you. They could see what your vulnerabilities are, how you are as a person. They know your reputation, what kind of girl you are. And he didn't even know I was married, but he knew of me from town. And oh, that's the nice girl who drives the school bus. And it was very slow in the beginning. It wasn't fast like a regular narcissist. He never bought me flowers the whole 9 years I was with him. Not even one off the road. Okay, so that's the type of person he is. I didn't hold it against him. I just didn't understand it. But he didn't do anything like that. But his love bombing was texting me, calling me. Hey, how's your day going? How's the divorce going? How's work? And then it would be like getting to know me. What are our common interests? That's how he loved bomb me. And I know everybody has their own specific ways, but again, I was letting my guard down, letting him know that I was getting out of a loveless marriage and how, he was he literally was the complete opposite of my ex-husband. And that was the big attraction there for me because, especially towards the end, my ex-husband was mean and nasty, wouldn't talk to me, and just was just a miserable person and never liked to laugh. He didn't want to go out anymore. And he was the complete opposite of that, or his facade was the complete opposite of that. So that was the attraction there. And again, I knew of him. So it's not like he was like somebody I just met off eHarmony, like my ex-husband. You don't know anything about them, and they have like 10 warrants out for them. So, that stuff made me nervous. Listen, there are those matchmaker.com things where it works out, but most people tell me they go on online dating, they say it's a disaster. So that was kind of like the comfortableness I had with him. And then, as it went along, with him, again, I depict in the book, most narcissists drop their mask about 3 to 6 months into the relationship, some kind of red flag, whether it's big or small, just something to kind of like jolt you, like, oh, this is not normal. He didn't do any of that stuff till about 2.5, 3 years into the relationship. Probably about 6 months into me living with him. So it took for me to get to that point of living with him and months into it, that's when it started to drop. So to me, that is just. That's mental. That's crazy because you can hide your true self for that long. I mean, that's crazy. And I even said in the book where, first he would never drink because I don't drink, I don't do drugs. And I don't poo-poo people who drink and stuff. I just don't get it. It's not my thing. And he never drank. And then maybe like a year and a half, 2 years, he started drinking because I knew he had a problem with alcohol back in the day. So I knew that. And he started drinking, but then it was very little. Then it was once in a while he'd get drunk, but he was like a happy drunk. So I wasn't worried because I said, all right, well, he's not being mean or nasty. He's not hurting anybody. I was making excuses for him already. And I was already one of those types of women, which he found out very fast. I'm not saying all women are like this, but from what men say when they complain about, I don't nag, I don't complain, I don't give rules, I don't say, you can't go out with your friends, you must be home by 8:20 p.m. I don't do that stuff. I'm very easygoing. If I trust you and you love me and you have no reason to do something to hurt our relationship, you want to go to Applebee's at 7 o'clock and go have a beer and wings, go. God bless. Just let me know, you got there okay. Say hello to your friends for me. I wasn't that type of person. So he knew that. So he played off of that also. And then I think it was like chapter eight. That was like that 3 years into the relationship. I had a photo shoot in Miami for Deco Models on a rooftop, and I asked him to come. That was the trip what we were going together for. And he purposely left his phone in the room in the casino, which was 45 minutes away. He didn't want to come to the photo shoot. And I'm like, why? It's going to be air conditioned. It's in Miami. It's in the middle of July. It's like 110 out. Like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, no, I'm going to take a nap in the car. So long story short, I came down from the photo shoot. He wasn't there. And then I had to wait. This is like right after COVID. So like everything was shut down. Nobody was there. So I'm standing outside a bikini for like 45 minutes. I have no way to contact him because he left his phone in the room. And of course, now the panic set in. And see, I didn't realize how I was trauma bonded already because I was like, okay, what do I do? I can't leave without him. He's going to flip out if I leave, even if I go back to the casino. So I stayed there and I waited. And about 45 minutes later, he came like swinging around the corner, yelling and screaming at me, you effing bitch, get the F in the car. Never seen him act like that. So I was shell shocked, got in the car. He started it up. He started taking off, driving 100 miles an hour for 45 minutes, punching the ceiling. You C-U-N-T, you bitch, you whore, every name in the book you think he could call me. This isn't all about you. What about me? I can't effing stand you. I was like, where is this coming from? What are you talking about? And I wanted to say, honey, yes, today was about me. I had a photo shoot, wanted you to be a part of it, but you didn't want to come. And just completely mental. And then we got to the casino, which was a problem because he was like manhandling me in the middle of the casino floor, completely obliviated drunk, and nobody came and helped me. No casino security, nothing. So I finally broke away from him, got upstairs, kept yelling and screaming at me, pushed me against the wall twice, and then he finally passed out drunk in the bed. And I was just blown away. I had a full-on panic attack in the car, in the room. I called my mom and he was sleeping. I told her what happened. She goes, Jody, she goes, what the hell is going on here? I said, Ma, I don't know. He's never acted like this before. I was in complete and utter shell shock and disbelief. And I did not want to believe that this was the real him. And something, for instance, like this, a lot of people I realize that don't understand about abusive relationships, whether it's domestic abuse, psychological abuse, narcissistic abuse, a lot of people who are not educated in it or don't know about it will say, well, why didn't you leave right after that first fight? That is the worst thing to say to somebody. It's
Yeah,
because
I
you're
agree.
Yes, it's because you're trauma bonded and you love them and you don't want to believe that this is the real person. A normal relationship, when you have a blowout fight, either you work it out or you just say, hey, I'm going to go my separate ways. Goodbye. Have a nice day. That's not how it is in an abusive relationship. And I want to say, out of like 20 friends, maybe two people asked me that. And I wasn't mad and offended because I understand. I didn't confide in those two people a lot about really what was going on, and they didn't understand. But then once they found out the truth, they're like, oh, we get it now. Okay. So, again, not passing judgment on people, but I try to tell everybody, not that you have to tippy toe around somebody who's been abused, but if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. The old saying, and
It's
be
better,
educated.
like if they didn't go through the same thing, I have a hard time with people who try and give me advice and they never have done what I've done, you know? And so
Yes,
it's like, unless
absolutely.
you walked in my shoes and have a similar experience, then I honestly, I don't want to hear it, you know? I just,
I totally get that, and that's what I say, to a lot of people who, message me, and when I talk on podcasts like this. This is another subject too that kind of people are like, "Oh, really?" Like they're scared to say. I am about full transparency. I tell the truth, whether it hurts me, my feelings. I'm here to tell my story and help people and what I went through. When I left him the second time, yes, the love was changing. I was emotionally detaching, but I still loved him. And guess what? To this day, I still love him. It may
yeah.
be a sliver. It may not, it's not that deep in love like I used to be love of my life, but it's still there. And people ask, will it ever go away? I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller. I hope it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't bother me because guess what? I'm real, and what I felt for him was real. And to me, the relationship was real. Now, I'll never know if he really loved me or not in his own psychotic way. I don't know what he thinks of me to this day. I'm sure he hates me, because that's the truth of it all. At the end, they actually start hating you. And, I just, a lot of people don't understand. How can you still love him? Listen, if there's a button on my wrist that I could press that says, that's it. I wish there was, but I'm so empathetic and I was so deeply in love with him that that doesn't just fall off like that. But I mean, listen, over the past year, has it come way down? Of course. No contact, working on the book, helping other people, but I am who I am at the end of the day and I'm not embarrassed about it. That's who makes me me. And this is topics I tell people who, just left an abusive relationship, or like it could be 5 years into it. I tell them, I said, don't feel stupid for still loving them. Don't feel dumb or like, why do I feel like this? It's because you're empathetic. It's because it was real for you. You don't have to answer to anybody about your feelings but yourself. And as long as you're comfortable in your authentic self, that's all that matters at the end of the day. You don't have to people please anybody but you.
Absolutely. And I guess one of my questions then, how do you recognize a narcissist? Like, what are the subtle signs? Because I know a lot of people throw the word around and call people a narcissist, and perhaps they're not. Like, why? What are subtle signs that would make someone a narcissist?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would say the subtle signs are like, especially right away when you're getting to know somebody, if it's gonna be a romantic relationship, if they're obsessively texting or calling you, like if it's a little too much in the beginning, you got to gain to that point, because right there it shows control. They're trying to have dominance and control over you. Right away, if they're too lovey-feely and saying I love you too fast, that would be a big one. Another one is like when you're getting to know them, if they're very grandiose with their ego, and especially about, look at me, I've done this, I've done that. This person hates me, but this person loves me. I'm so great. I've done this in my life, I've done that. Listen, we all can speak of ourselves highly and say, look at, I've done accomplishments. I was a school bus driver for 20 years. I just got my certification in narcissistic abuse. I have my real estate license. I do acquisitions. I'm just telling you facts. I'm not saying I'm the best real estate agent in New Jersey. Call me. I got my notary 4 years ago. I did 200 notaries by then. These other notaries have nothing on me. See, I'm not saying it like that because I am not a conceited, narcissistic person. There's a big difference. So when they do that big show of the ego and the look at me, look at me, look at me, and I'm better than everybody, when they're saying it without saying it, that's another big sign too. So these are all little red flags that I let go down by the wayside. I'm like, oh, he just wants attention. Oh, he's a goofball. All these little things that I let slide by because, again, out of the frying pan into another one narcissist to another. I wasn't even looking for it. But again, when you're so brainwashed, which is another thing that narcissists do, when you get out, not only do they rewire your brain and brainwash you, you kind of brainwash yourself too, because you question your own reality. Even though you know psychologically, like, No, they're doing this to me, but they're trying to distort my reality. You start questioning yourself. So you have to untrain yourself to be brainwashed from them, untrain to be brainwashed by yourself, and then just reconfigure your whole self. And another thing that happens with narcissists too is, which they do, and you won't find it into like being into the relationship for a while. My ex would always say to me, "You never listen to me, Jody. You know, write down shit." And when I tell you, he would throw 100 different things at me at once because I ran his whole life and I didn't mind because I enjoyed doing it. I really did. So, I mean, he really had the whole kit and caboodle with me, ran his business, his taxes, the house, cooked, cleaned. He didn't have to lift a finger. But, you know, I'm a Gemini, so I can do 100 things at once, but it has to be at my speed. And I have to concentrate on one thing at a time. And he knows that. And he would purposely tell me like three things at once, so I would forget. And then when he would ask me the next day, "See, I told you would forget. You never listen to me. You never pay attention." And now that I think back, I'm like, he did this on purpose because he knew I couldn't handle doing three things at once. It had to be one at a time, and then it would be done correctly. And another thing with, unfortunately, with being exposed to a narcissist for years, they actually cause brain damage. It's a sad fact. I mean, it can be reversed, but it takes many years of retraining. And I know I have a little bit of it. The one main thing is brain fog and forgetfulness. Well, there you go. I mean, when you're browbeat every day, your brain gets affected because it's getting in this fight or flight mode, and you're scared to death, and your cortisol levels go through the roof. And just simple everyday tasks, you're walking on eggshells. That's not normal. Just like we were saying, the highs and lows of a relationship. People can't think that being in a roller coaster is normal for a relationship. Like you said, it should be mundane. You don't want to say boring, but it should be kind of like leveled out, and you have a little fight, bloop, and then leveled out again. It shouldn't be this cuckoo craziness. And that's what we have to instill in people, that when you do see the red flags, you got to kind of analyze it and say, you know, all right, let's keep divulging into this a little more, and let's see if this is a narcissist, and if I'm in potential like danger to be in this kind of relationship, because you don't want to get involved in one if you don't have to. Trust me, it's nothing worthwhile in the end. It's not.
Tell us more about your book and where can people buy it?
Yes. All right, so my book is available on Amazon.com. That's the most popular place. It's on 15 other smaller platforms. It's on www.jodylynnpavlok.com. It tells you my whole biography, what I've been through, how I went from one narcissist to another, and basically how I just gained the strength at the end to leave and stay away, no contact. So it's just about me, you know, with my own things that my gullibility that I did. And me looking at the red flags that I should have really paid attention and heeded a warning and stayed away. So I really divulged into the whole world of narcissism, relationships, how they get you hooked, trauma bonded, breadcrumbing, cognitive dissonance. I mean, all the words, everything. I tell you the whole storyline, but I really draw you in. And a lot of the readers said that they really feel like they stepped into my shoes and that they lived it with me. And they were like, wow, at the end. And not to spoil too much, but again, like I said, I'd like to be a little different at the end of the book, because I know there will always be people that doubt, she didn't go through this, she just wrote a book, whatever. No, this really did happen. And there are many people to attest that seen the abuse firsthand, in person, which is not typical of a narcissist. But at the end of the book, I put, let's just say, the evidence of an affair with lots of text messages and pictures. So for people who don't want to believe it, you could see how they speak of ill behind your back, making fun of you with the new supply. I caught my ex, you know, he's 18 years older, but I caught my ex having an affair with a married 70-year-old woman, somebody older than my mother. I mean, really, if that's not a lifetime story, I don't know what is. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you that desperate for validation? You got to go to the nursing home to pick up somebody? I mean, really, it's beyond craziness. And he even spoke about how, you know, you're not my next conquest. And then, of course, when the book came out, lots of women, let's just say, contacted me. He was cheating on me from day one. I had no idea. Love is blind, as they say. You don't know, but it's okay. I rather know the truth, because it just puts me in my own power, saying I made the right decision by leaving and making a better life for myself.
Absolutely. I know a lot of women who have struggled with their partner being like loved by everybody, but then when it was just them and behind closed doors, it was a totally different dynamic. So
Yes.
people have a hard time believing that that could even happen because they're so damn effing good at
Yes.
socializing and being charismatic and like everybody loves them. And that's the crazy where these women are literally like,
Yes.
what's going on? That's where you question your
You
sanity.
question yourself. Yes, and that's what happens a lot of times. But like I said, my
That
kind of
and your
narcissist.
self-worth, right? Like, it's like, why are they so nice and so amazing to these other people, but they're not giving me what I need, right?
Exactly. And then they're so shitty to you. And that's what I was going through. And like with my ex, like I said, he's definitely a covert narcissist. There's a thing called special me, and you have to hit at least 5 of 9 of the traits. He hit all 9. And I did that in my speaking engagement in February. And I was like, wow,
Yeah.
But even with him, he was either loved or hated. There was no in between. And he would say that all the time because narcissists say half truths. So when I first met him, he's like, listen, you either love me or hate me. There's no in between. And I looked like kind of confused at him. I'm like, what do you mean? But then as the years went on, before the abuse got bad, even after the abuse, and I'm like, now I see it because he had that charm and charisma to him where he could, sell ice to an Eskimo. But then that other side to him where people are like, dude, you're the biggest douche there is, And I get it because I lived with him. I was engaged to him. I was with him for 9 years. So I saw all the facades of fake. And it's just otherworldly to see it. But like you were saying, I feel bad for the other abuse victims where they're just like this great guy in public and they abuse behind closed doors because it's not about proving your accountability or the abuse. It's like when you want to confide in somebody, they're like, what do you mean? He's like the greatest guy. He's the mayor of the town. He
Yeah,
doesn't do that.
everybody wants to sleep with him. All of your friends are like jealous. Meanwhile, he's like not validating your emotions. He's not taking, holding himself accountable for everything. Like,
Yes.
that's craziness.
It is crazy. And I always say this, and I always struggle to say it the right way. Of course, abuse should never happen, but the couple of times which I did speak of in the book, when Frank, my ex, would abuse me, there was many times he did it in public because he was either drunk or high. We were in the casino. He did it in front of my best friend, her husband, another couple. So of course, these are my unit of people. I know they believed me, they validated me, but then once things started getting bad, and he switched from being this happy-go-lucky guy when we would go out, the four of us, and then I would be standing next to him, fucking bitch, fucking whore, like for no reason. I'm just breathing, and he's losing at the roulette table. Everything's my fault. Remember, that's the narcissist go-to. The sun didn't come out today. Jody's fault, and he started to switch like that. My friends had to come in, the two husbands, and say, dude, you need to step away from Jody because you're unhinged right now. And then he'd be
Yeah.
like, I remember the one time he was like, okay. And then he would grin and he gave me, I don't know if this is another term you ever heard of, the narcissistic black eyes. That's a real
Well,
thing.
I saw something yesterday. I was doing some research for a different show, and they call it dead eyes. That
Yes.
narcissists typically have these eyes that there's no light behind them. So we literally, when you're looking at them, they're like, they just, the person looks dead or gone.
They do. It's like their normal stance. There is like nothing there. And when they would go into a rage, like my ex did many a times, at first when you see it, you're scared because you're like, what the hell is this? It's something like at a poltergeist. But you literally
Yeah.
see, yeah, it's scary. But listen, I'm 6 foot tall. I can handle myself. But you see something like that, you're like, shit,
I
let's
don't
run
mean to laugh, but
the
you're just
No,
explaining
you
it
can't.
so well. It's true. It's like fucking a scary movie. Yeah.
It really is. And I mean, what actually happens is when they get so enraged, their pupils go away. The iris goes away and it's
Yeah.
black. It's black, and they look at you, and he would grin and grit and like under his breath, like he was actually being possessed by a demon. And he did this
Yeah.
numerous times in person. And I'm like, and I would think to myself, why do you hate me so much when, number one, I'm not talking back, I'm not engaging in an argument, I didn't start anything with you, it's not my fault you're losing money. Like, why? And I tried everything with him, after that. Ignoring him, arguing back, giving him ultimatums, trying to talk it out. Nothing would work because everything was always my fault. So when I read about the narcissistic black eyes, they say people have NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. They have a higher range of hormones. So when they go into a rage, that's what happens to their eyes. But then also there's the spiritual side, which a lot of people will say, you're crazy, but there really is. They say narcissists are soulless vessels, which I believe, because they're empty inside. They have nothing in them. And then the whole point of like their abuse, from what I could understand, like I posted something today. I think it said a narcissistic man will punish you for loving him. And it's true because the more I loved him, the more he so-called punished me, because I believe what they feel inside, whatever little bit they do, they hate themselves. They don't like their life. They don't like anything about them. So then they think, oh, this girl really loves me. Like she really is deep in love with me. But what is there to love about me? She's tricking me. She's duping me. And that's what they go in their mind because they're very paranoid people. I've only seen it once or twice with him, but let me tell you, they can play it cool when they have to, but they have their moments. Everybody has their moments, and I've seen it. And now I understand the psychology behind it with doing the coaching program. And they really just know how to flip the switch on you. They know how to say what they want to say. And I mean, one of the last text messages my ex sent me, because again, not to give away too much of the plot, at the end, I found out about the affair. I was sent the picture of him in granny panties, and I
Oh
took
my God.
the picture. Yeah, you know me. I gotta make it funny. I took the picture of him and her. I printed it and I put it on his work vehicle. So when he got back from his little, nursing home rendezvous down in Atlantic City with her, and thinks that I wouldn't notice when somebody calls 50 times a day and didn't call me for 3 days straight, so he could see it.
No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, come
They're
on.
not
I'm
very smart
optimistic.
either, are they?
No, they're not. And they think they are. They think they are. So I guess the next morning when he realized, oh shit, Jody's not so dumb after all, he texts me this whole thing. I was with her to borrow $10,000. Really? Does one take their bookie to Atlantic City for 3 days to borrow money? I thought you were a millionaire. That's another thing. He's a fake millionaire. You go around saying he has all this money. Care what the hell you have, but don't say that. That's stupid. And then as the text messages went on, oh, I was only with her to borrow $10,000. I helped you do this. You just bought a new car a couple of months ago. Look in the mirror. Who's the liar? And then I think his last line was, I love you, but I'd rather be alone than be used. All right, so let's psychoanalyze this. You weren't there for a loan, because who goes to Atlantic City with somebody for 3 days for a loan? Gaslighting at its finest. Me buying a car because I went without a car for 2 years because he kept charging me rent while I was waiting for my pension and disability case to go through, because that's what a real man does, right? I went 2 years without a car, so I bought myself a car. So he was jealous over that because it was a newer version of his. Oh, well. And then I love you, but I'd rather be alone. No, you don't love me because you wouldn't be cheating on me. And you wouldn't rather be alone because you never have been alone. So, I mean, and then I'd rather not be used. Not be used. If anybody was used, he used me the whole 9 years. I laugh with my friends all the time because, I'm somebody who has chronic daily headache with migraines. I have to take my migraine medication and my Excedrin at a certain time every day with food. He knew this. That was maybe the one annoying thing. God forbid we feed the fiance. And we were going to one of his construction site jobs, his side business. And we were a couple of hours into driving. We were driving to Florida while I was waiting for root canal. So I was in a lot of pain. Like 4 hours in, I said, Frank, I said, please stop at Wendy's. I'll get you anything you want. I don't care. I just need to get like a cheeseburger or something so I could take my migraine medication. Do you know that son of a bitch wouldn't stop for me? He would not stop. He knew I was getting a migraine, and he knew if I didn't take my medication, it would turn into a 5-day migraine. That's abuse. I didn't realize it then, but I was compliant. And I'm like, what am I gonna do? He's driving the truck with the trailer. I'm stuck with him. And then he wouldn't stop until hours later. Well, guess what? I took the medicine, but it was too late. I had a 5-day migraine afterwards. And he had this thing like whenever I was hungry, he never paid for anything. Very rarely did he pay for anything. And that's not what relationships are about. But he would always go about saying, I'm a millionaire. I got all this and that. But I paid for everything. And he put me in financial distress for a long time. And I was like, this is not how relationships are supposed to be. Why am I paying for absolutely everything? I mean, be a little fair. And I would ask him to stop for a slice of pizza, and he wouldn't do it. So that's the ongoing joke I have with my therapist and my friends. I'm like, whoever I date next, they got to at least be willing to take me for pizza. Otherwise, it's a hard no. So, you try to take the lemons out of life
Yeah.
and lemonade. You make fun of it, you laugh, but it's just such crazy, stupid stuff. They love to see you in pain, whether it's physical, emotional, and they just don't want you to be a happy person. And they see all your love and light, and they just want to drain you of it. And he did for a very long time. And my best friend Peggy said, when I was really going through it with him, she's like, Jody, she goes, the sparkle and the light is gone out of your eyes. And
Yeah.
she made me realize that. And I knew it was coming to an end. But let me tell you, when I left him that second time, even though I'm of the affair, I didn't want to leave him. I had to leave him. I had no choice because he wasn't going to change. He wasn't going to stop the affair. The other slew of women, however many there were, it's just, this is what they do. You can't change somebody, like I said before, who does not see faults in their behavior. So, I tell people in a nice way who are in abusive relationships when they ask for help, when they're really stuck in a hard place, I say, listen, you have three choices. I said, either you can accept it for what it is and put up with the abuse, and you're going to have a lot of residual side effects from it. I said, B, you can leave and take the hard road, but I promise you'll be the best thing you ever did. Or C, you could just sit there and be compliant and say, I don't know every day and just never know. I said, I'm telling you, I said, do door B. I said, it's the best road to take. I said, listen, I was scared shitless when I left him. That's all I knew was him. He was my whole life. He was my whole reason for living. But I had to do it. I had to make a better life for myself. Was it easy? No. Is it still easy? I mean, emotionally, I'm much better place, but it's not easy. It's a rocky road, but it's not that roller coaster, but it's just life and adjusting to being on my own. And I've always put the man I was with first in my life. And yes, when you're in a healthy relationship, that's great. But when you're in an abusive one, no, you have to find yourself all over again. I mean, I moved back in with my parents for over a year, maybe year and a half, got myself in a financial position, and I moved into my own apartment here in May, and I'm very proud of that. It took a lot of work, a lot of money, and a lot of just, being comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. I forced myself into a lot of situations because I have to keep breaking the barrier because there's always more work to be done on yourself. Even when you think like, oh no, I'm good, there's always more to be done. And you have to keep challenging yourself every day. And you'll be surprised with the results if you just keep at it, like anything else in life.
Gosh, thank you so much for sharing your story, for starting the series, and for being brave and for getting all of this out in the open. You're going to help so many people. So many people are going to be able to relate to what you're saying. And the hope is that A, they recognize that they're in trouble. And B, that they reach out to someone and get the help. So I look forward to episode 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6
Yes,
and digging
thank you.
deeper into this topic, so we can really dig deep and pull apart what it means. And yeah, thanks again for being here today.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And if anyone in the audience is going through narcissistic abuse, please get help. There are so many resources out there. And if you feel alone, reach out to Jody, reach out to me, reach out to Stacy. We have resources that can help you. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.